You've tuned in to Wednesday Night Bible Study at Central Baptist Church.
Good Wednesday evening, everyone. We want to welcome you to the Central Baptist Church Wednesday evening Bible study. This is actually September the 16th, and we're glad that you have joined us today. If you have your Bible, we're going to be looking this evening at the passages out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. As you find that, I want to encourage you to take the time to go to our social media pages, the one that you're viewing this on now, as well as our private group page, if you happen to be a member of that. Be sure to catch Commander Tony's Awana videos. There's two different ones, just to remind you. One kind of tells about what the process is going to be on our return to Awana, which is going to be October the 4th. That second video is kind of like a frequently asked questions situation. So if you have children in Awana, you want to know a little bit more about what's taking place and what's going on, just take the time. Remember, there's two different videos. I want to encourage you to watch those. As we look at the Lord's Word today, there are some scriptures here that I believe are so key and pertinent for each and every one of us as we follow our Lord and Savior. Let's just go ahead and dive right in. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 17. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, as has committed to us the word of reconciliation." Verse 20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you this evening, we want to ask that you would truly speak to our hearts. Lord, we pray that in the midst of all the craziness that is this world right now, that we will be able to pause for these few moments to truly concentrate upon you, Lord, to hear what you have, what message you have for each and every one of us. Help us to put aside the distractions of the day or the schedules and the cares, that we might focus upon you. And Lord, I pray that you'll draw us close to you. Lord, as always, if there's one who happens to be viewing tonight who doesn't know you as Savior, we pray, Lord, that today truly would be the day that they would give their life to you and that there would be rejoicing of the saints in heaven. So Lord, bless our time as we come around your word, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at these passages, I believe that very first passage that we looked at is one that each and every Christian should always remember. Commit it to memory, write it down, put it in the front of your Bible, put it someplace, because it is truly such an encouragement to each and every believer. If you look in verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." Now, what a blessing that really is when you think about that. Well, first of all, let's define what that means. It says that if anyone is in Christ, what does it mean to be in Christ? Well, we've heard terms probably throughout our lives. If you've had the opportunity to be raised in a church, you've probably heard it referred to as somebody being saved, somebody being born again, somebody who has given their life to Christ, somebody who is a believer. There are so many terms. We want to make sure that we don't just church things up with such language that people miss what we're talking about. So the word tells us that if anyone is in Christ, meaning they're saved, born again, they're a believer, they've given their life to the Lord, it says he is a new creation. A new creation. Isn't that great? You know, when we sit back and think about what the Lord has done in our heart, when he convicts us of our sin, and we all have sinned. The Word of God tells us that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we were born into sin through the fall of Adam and Eve. So it's not a matter of if we're sinners. We truly are sinners. We're born into sin. So knowing that, when we have that opportunity to realize it, that sin brings about death and hell, and we realize that through Christ there is as a way that has been made that we might be able to have eternal life in a place that God has created for us, in a place where we don't have to suffer an eternal damnation in hell, a place where we our price has been paid by Jesus Christ. So the word tells us that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, oftentimes what takes place is that somebody, when they see that need, when they see their sinfulness, and we begin to look at ourselves in the way that God sees us, in that sinful nature, it's not a really pretty picture. It breaks our heart. Many times throughout my ministry, I've seen those who have come to Christ, and they have done so through many, many tears. They look at what their life was like. They look at how they've hurt our Lord and Savior with their actions and with their activities and with their sinfulness. And it's really a joy when they have that opportunity to give their life to Christ. And there's tears of joy. But when you reflect upon your life, generally there are those tears of sadness. But thanks be to God, this verse tells us that when we give our life to the Lord, we become a new creation. Now get this, it says old things are passed away. That is really, really important, because Satan loves to take the old things in our lives, the things that God has forgiven us of, the things we've repented of and he's granted forgiveness. Satan likes to take those things and hold them above us, like to hold them over us or to hold us accountable to them. You know, often in your heart, you know, Satan will try to tell you, he'll say, well, look at what you were. Look at the things that you have done. Folks, I beg you today that as a believer in Christ, if you know him, to realize that Satan is just simply trying to create confusion in your heart, because this passage right here, that's why I said it's important to go ahead and mark it or memorize it. But it says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All those things that Satan's trying to hold over your head, they're completely gone. God has forgiven you. It says right there in that passage, it says, not only is he a new creation, verse 17 in the middle, it says, old things have passed away. You're no longer held accountable for the things that God has forgiven you of. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. God has given you a new start through Jesus Christ. You don't have to worry about the things of the past. You don't have to be held captive to those things that were done, that were hurtful to our Savior in the past. He says, I forgive you. Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. And oftentimes we'll go to him and say, well, Lord, I remember when I did this. He says, that's forgiven. I kind of like it. It's a little bit of a comedy stretch, but many of you may have at times seen the movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And if you remember the three fellas that were down at the river during the baptism, and one of the fellas goes and he's baptized by the preacher. Now, this is not exactly the greatest theological lesson in one regard, but it is in another. But I still remember after he was baptized, he came out and he was pointing at his fellas, and he said, I'm a new man. He said, the Lord's forgiven me of all those bad things that I've ever done. And he said, even that Piggly Wiggly that I knocked off last year. And one of the other fellas said, well, I thought you said you didn't do that. And he paused for a moment and he said, well, I lied, but I've done been forgiven of that too. Well, that is the way God's grace and love works. He has forgiven us. And notice that passage. Let me read it in its entirety once again in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, saved, born again as a believer, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. What a blessing that is. Now, you understand why that verse is so important. It should be something that each and every day of our lives we understand and realize as we go forward in God's grace. Now, verse 18 says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now, first of all, I want to give you an actual term, a definition of reconciliation. Okay, you ready for this? Here is how a dictionary defines one aspect of reconciliation. It says reconciliation is the end of the estrangement caused by original sin between God and humanity. Now think about that. For the end of estrangement, most of us can understand what it means to be estranged, to be, you know, apart, to be grown apart. The end of that. Reconciliation puts an end to that. So when we see this, these particular verses that it talks about, it says if, in verse 18, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. The estrangement is no longer there through Jesus Christ. Now what that means is what Christ accomplished for us on Calvary's cross through his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, we've been talking a lot about what the gospel message is really all about. It's about the death, burial, and resurrection. And that is how our belief in that reconciles us to God, which is extremely important. Now, it says in verse 18, now all things are of God who has reconciled himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Well, what does that mean, given us the ministry of reconciliation? That means that you and I carry the gospel. That's what you hear when we have opportunities to gather as a church or when we come to you by the broadcast. You know, we're preaching Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and resurrected for you. His shed blood is what saves each and every one of us. And it says, notice what it says in verse 19. And I like how this is stated. Let me clarify it a little bit, because often people don't really get the religious speak, as it were. But verse 19 says, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses. What that means is not counting their trespasses against them, being forgiven. And what a joy and a privilege it is, you know, to be forgiven by God when it comes down to thinking about all the things that we've done, the things that our hearts have been convicted of that have been hurtful to him. God reconciles us to himself through Jesus Christ. And because of that, we have a ministry of reconciliation. That means believers have that ministry of reconciliation. What is that reconciliation? What is that that thing that no longer makes us estranged to God? It is the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Now, when we get down to verse 20, notice it says, and I laugh every time I think about this. I'll share a story with you in just a moment, but it says in verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. It says, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So go back, it says, so we are ambassadors. Now, what does that mean to be an ambassador? It means to be a representative of. So we are ambassadors or representatives for Christ as though God were pleading through us. In other words, we are his hands, we are his feet, we are his voice, because we have that ministry of reconciliation. The death, burial, and resurrection that we preach. Now, I mentioned a moment ago, every time I see that word ambassador, I kind of chuckle a little bit, because when we think about an ambassador, we think of a political figure, you know, the ambassador to whatever country it may be, and we kind of think of that in the political realm. And I still remember, I believe it was in 1997, I had actually gone on a mission trip down to Falmouth, England, with a group out of Mississippi, and the idea was that when we went down there, we went to the tall ships races. It was a worldwide event that was going to be drawing, and I believe the last count we heard after it was over with was roughly 500,000 people to the port in Falmouth, England. And we went there to do evangelism, street evangelism, to be among the people, to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Well, there were ships there from all over the world. I called it the pirate ships. Most of them were the three-masted sailing ships. And this harbor was just full of these ships from France and Germany and England and the United States, just from all over the place, just a worldwide event. And we were working in the crowd. We were doing things like sketchboarding. We were sharing our personal testimony. But the one area that we didn't have an opportunity to be a part of was to actually get on the ships and see the people. They had those I call it the gangplanks that walked up to the ships. But at the top of them, each and every ship had a guard that was placed there so that the general public couldn't just go up there and walk onto the ships. You could see them from essentially the dock area, but you weren't allowed to access them. And I was actually placed with a fairly young guy that was really naive. Love him to death. I still think about him to this day. And he was just a great follower of the Lord, but I was kind of in charge of him because this was one of his first mission trips, and he was just a very naive young man. So I got to looking at those ships, and I had an idea. So I said, let's go back up to the church where our headquarters were. The reason we did that was to get more Bibles that were in different languages, the languages of the folks that were on those ships. And before we left, the Mississippi, the mayor of the town in Mississippi that was the team was heading from, actually had written a document for us to be able to give to the mayor of Falmouth, England. And it essentially declared that we were ambassadors of goodwill. So you're seeing where the story's tracking now. They called us ambassadors of goodwill. Now, what does that mean politically? Really? Absolutely nothing. But when you hear that word, it kind of has this connotation that it's something important about it. So we had this certificate that we had presented to the mayor. I had copies of those things. And each and every one of us had a badge that was made up that had the stars and stripes, that had the American flag on it. And it called us ambassadors of goodwill. So politically it doesn't really mean anything, but I thought, well, we'll take advantage of somebody not understanding and not knowing what that really is. So I got my buddy, we got our Bibles, we went back down to the ships, and I started right up one of those gangplanks, walked right up to the fellow that was standing there, and of course I could hear my little guy behind me going, what are we doing? I said, just follow my lead. So I went up to the man and I said, my name is Roy Carter, this is Ronnie. I said, we're the American ambassadors of goodwill, we're here to see your captain. Well, of course they didn't understand what that really meant. So they brought us on board. We got a chance to see the captain, and I told the captain, I said, we're the American ambassadors of goodwill. We would like to pray for your safety on the journey of the tall ships races, and like to talk to some of your men if that would be okay. And of course, they allowed us to do that. In the process, we had a chance to share with them the gospel message through gospel tracts, through telling them our story. We were able to share Bibles. We presented each ship a Bible in their native tongue, and we were just more than welcome on that ship because we were ambassadors of goodwill. Now, notice what verse 20, let me carry you back to verse 20. That's why I told you this story. It says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, meaning we represent him. See, we were ambassadors of goodwill just from that little town, although it didn't have any real major political authority or anything with it. It was just saying that we're there, we represent that town, we thank you for welcoming us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Wherever we go, we carry that gospel message with us. We are representatives of Jesus Christ. Now, I've often heard it said when I was growing up, don't ever go anywhere or do anything that you couldn't take God or your mother. Think about that for a moment, because as a born-again believer, you're taking our Lord and Savior wherever you go because we are representatives of him. Are we representing him well? Verse 20 says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you. Now let me pause right there for a minute. It says, as though God were pleading through us. Pleading what? Pleading for that reconciliation. Pleading for that salvation. Notice what it says, pleading through us. That's where you've heard me say many, many times that we are the hands and the feet and the voice of our Lord and Savior. God wants to use us to plead the case of salvation by grace through faith in the shed blood of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That's what we are to do, as though God were pleading through us. When we go and we meet people and we share our testimony, when we witness to others, that is the Lord pleading through us for those to come to salvation through his only Son and through what was accomplished on Calvary's cross through the death, burial, and resurrection. Verse 20, once again, middle of it, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. There's that word once again, reconciled. In other words, the estrangement no longer there. Through Jesus Christ, that is how we have access to God. I've said so many times that back in the days of the Old Testament, folks didn't have the opportunity to simply just come into the presence of God. If you think about the system that was in place, you had the Ark of the Covenant, you had the Holy of Holies. The Ark actually represented the presence of God, and in between common man and that Ark was the veil, 6 inches thick, 70 feet tall, that separated man from the presence of God or the Holy of Holies. Now, one of the great things in the New Testament when we read about the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it says that when he gave up the ghost, it says that the temple veil, that thing that separated man from God or the presence of God, it said that temple veil was rent or torn from top to bottom. What that symbolized was that there would no longer be a barrier between God and man with the exception of Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, when we accept his gift of salvation, when we are reconciled to him, we have access to God. That's the only mediator between man and God is Jesus Christ. You don't have to go through a priest anymore to get to God. You don't have to come confess your sin to the preacher and have the preacher ask the Lord to forgive you, because God, through Jesus Christ, has provided you access. Isn't that great? That's what that verse is talking about. Latter part of that verse, we implore you. Verse 20, latter part, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Yeah, trust him. Give your life to him. See that you're a sinner. See that your eternal destination without Christ is set toward the place called hell. Now, I'm not saying that you should just trust the Lord to stay out of hell. It's about falling in love with him. It's about having that walk with him. It's about being reconciled, no longer estranged. It says, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. When you think about imploring someone, there's a sense of urgency about that. We implore you. We beg you. Today, if you're viewing this broadcast and you've never trusted Jesus Christ in your heart and in your life, I implore you, I beg you to be reconciled to him. I implore you, I beg you to give your life to him, to be saved, to be born again, whatever term you know. And that is simply turning your life over to him and saying, Lord, I do realize that I'm a sinner. I do realize that what I deserve is death and hell. But thanks be to God. Thanks be for the fact of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice on Calvary's cross that paid for my sin. I've been purchased with a price. So Lord, I give you my life and I want to follow you. I want to walk in ways that are pleasing to you. Have you done that? If not, I'm just asking you right now, just hit the pause button on this video and just pray to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I know it. And I'm asking you to save my soul. Help me to live for you. And if you mean that, it doesn't have to be something flowery. It doesn't have to be some long prayer. Most of the best prayers I've ever heard in my life are, Lord, I need some help. And I know, I'm confessing to you, I'm a sinner and I need some help. Reconcile me. And I implore you, I beg you today to do that if you haven't. Also, if you do, please let us know. You can contact us on our website at www.oakridgecbc.org. We want to celebrate with you. We want to take the opportunity to be able to get some material in your hand to help you to grow in God's grace. And what a joy and what a privilege that is. Look at verse 21 as we wrap things up. It says, For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What a beautiful verse that is. Talking about Jesus Christ, for he, being God, made him who knew no sin, that was Jesus Christ. Jesus lived some 33 years on this earth sinless. Yeah, that's how he was able to be able to pay the price for you and I, the sin price, because he never had. But what he did was he took your sin and my sin upon himself to Calvary's cross. He was crucified. He died for those sins to pay the price. But on the third day, he rose again that you and I might have eternal life. He conquered death. He conquered hell. And we simply need to put our trust in him. Folks, I believe with all my heart that time is running out. We need to make those decisions today. Do not put off tomorrow, things that need to be done today. That was what I preached about this past Sunday. And it seems like Satan is just so good at making us think we have so much more time when we're not promised the next moments of our life. Please make it right with him today. Notice what it says, "For he, God Almighty, made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteous," saved, born again, "the righteous of God in him," that's in Jesus Christ. What a blessing that is. What a joy it is to be able to be a believer today and to walk in this world. And when we look at some of the things that we've learned from these passages today, as we've gone through these studies, I mentioned to you before that there are some things that we ask you to look for. One of those things is a promise to claim. And one of the promises to claim today is that where God does not hold us accountable for those sins, we can claim that promise. So if Satan's trying to beat you down today with some things from your past, if you have repented of it and confessed it to God, then you have been forgiven. He does not impute that against you. He doesn't hold that against you. He has paid that price already. Will you accept the payment for that? Stop beating yourself up. Stop allowing Satan to put you in a position and hold you accountable for sin that God has already forgiven you of. Don't let him win on that. Don't let him ever win on that. Today is a great day, because you know why? As we go back and we think about the very first verse we looked at, verse 17 says, "If any man, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Have you become new in Christ? That's my challenge as we go forward, that if the Lord has spoken to your heart today in regard to some things that you're either doing or not doing that are not pleasing to him, that you would get those right. Understand, are you a new creation in Christ? Have you trusted him? Because if you have, the old things are passed away. There's a new you. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And what a blessing and privilege that is. Before I close out, I want to go ahead and give you the passages that we're going to be looking at for next week on the 23rd. Your Bible readings for this particular week, and you can go ahead and start today. If you're just joining us, what we ask is that you just read that there's five different chapters through a seven-day week. We're just asking you to read one chapter a day. I don't want you to read ahead. I want you to concentrate. Let the Lord lead you as you read that one chapter a day. The five verses for this week heading into next Wednesday is actually going to be 2 Corinthians chapter 7 through 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Once again, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 through 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And next week, we're going to talk about cheerful giving. There's a difference between plain old giving and cheerful giving. I trust and pray that we can truly be cheerful givers as we give a portion of what God has so richly blessed us with back to his kingdom. And folks, so many times we look at it, which is true, that we give that the ministry might go forward, that we might be able to continue to preach the gospel of reconciliation. That is true. But folks, it's more than that. God wants to bless you through your giving. He wants to bless you through your obedience. Try him. I've said that so many times that over in the book of Malachi, he talks about, you know, how man robs God. But this is in giving is the only situation I know where God has actually said, "I want you to put me to the test. Try me. See if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour forth a blessing that you won't even be able to begin to imagine." So if you're not biblically tithing, I want to encourage you to do that. I want you to put God to the test, because he said that we could do that. See if he won't open those windows of heaven and pour forth a blessing that we can't even begin to handle or imagine. We look forward to seeing you next Wednesday at our Bible study. Also, if you do not have a home church that is meeting right now, we come to you live at 10:45 each Sunday on our public site. Now, before I close us in prayer, I do want to remind folks of a couple of things. If you're catching our live broadcast, You have to catch that on our Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge public site. We have two different sites. We've got a private group site and we have a public site. The live broadcast is not on our group site until after it's over with, so you're watching a recording of it. If you're wanting to watch it live, go to our public site, Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Also, if you want to contribute to the ministries of Central Baptist Church, you can do so by going to our website, www.oakridgecbc.org. There's a giving tab up there. You can click that and allow God to bless you for your faithfulness to Him, as well as bless us in being able to continue to get the word out. So we're looking forward to seeing you. As a reminder, Awana starts again October the 4th. We look forward to seeing you prayerfully as we start to try to rise out of this pandemic to get back to a little bit more of what we know as normal. Let me pray with you and we'll get on out of here. Father, you're good to us. We love you. We thank you for every opportunity. And Lord, we thank you for every provision. Father, for those who will be faithful to give to you this week, I pray that you would honor their gift, Lord, that it might be multiplied for your kingdom. But Lord, that they would be blessed in such a fashion that they will truly know the blessing has come from you. Lord, help us to truly be those ambassadors for you, the ones who plead and implore others to give their lives to you. Thank you, Father, for Jesus, and thank you for the fact that through Christ, old things are truly passed away and all things have become new. You have made us into a new creation, and Lord, we thank you for that. Watch over us this week. Keep us safe and healthy until we can join again as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you Sunday.